from WBUR Boston. I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point, Not Elegantly Stated. That's what Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney is out saying today. What's not so elegant? In a private fundraiser secretly taped, Mitt Romney told donors 47% of Americans won't vote for him, no matter what. They're dependent, he said. They believe they're victims. That's a lot of the country. This hour on Point, Mitt Romney and the 47%. You can join the conversation. What's your reaction? Are you with Governor Romney? Are you dismayed at Governor Romney? Are you in the 47%? And you can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. We will hear in this hour from Mother Jones. They brought the bootleg video of the fundraiser to light. We'll hear from a staunch defender of the perspective that Mitt Romney lays out there. But let's hear from the candidate himself. And this is from this Mother Jones-supplied bootleg video. Maybe a role by Jimmy Carter relative in getting this out. Romney telling a group of wealthy donors, apparently in Florida, what he thought about voters who support President Obama. The sound quality is not perfect, but here's how he responded to a question from a donor, $50,000 a plate dinner in Boca Raton, about how he would convince the American people to take care of themselves. The wealthy donor apparently saying, when quoting here, all everybody's been told is, don't worry, we'll take care of you. Here's Romney.
47% of the people who will vote for the president no matter what. All right, there are 47% who are with him, who are dependent upon government, who believe that they are victims, who believe that government has a responsibility to care for them, who believe that they're entitled to health care, to food, to housing, to you name it. But that's an entitlement, and government should give it to them. And they will vote for this president no matter what. And I mean, the president starts off with 48, 49, 40, he starts off with a huge number. These are people who pay no income tax. 47% of Americans pay no income tax.
We'll look at that number, that population paying no income tax. And then Romney went on in this bootleg tape to talk about the voters, again, at the $50,000 a plate dinner, that he was interested in winning over in the upcoming election.
So our message of low taxes doesn't connect. And he'll be out there talking about tax cuts for the rich. I mean, that's what they sell every 4 years. And so my job is not to worry about those people. I'll never convince them that they should take personal responsibility and care for their lives. What I have to do is convince the 5 to 10% in the center that are independent, that are thoughtful, that look at voting one way or the other, depending upon, in some cases, emotion, whether they like the guy or not.
These are not my people to worry about. Last night in Costa Mesa, California, Romney held a quickly put together press conference to elaborate on those remarks. He didn't back away from the substance of it, said he wasn't speaking elegantly there.
It's not elegantly stated, let me put it that way. I'm speaking off the cuff in response to a question, and I'm sure I could state it more clearly and in a more effective way than I did in a setting like that. And so I'm sure I'll point that out as time goes on.
But standing by the substance, and we will hear a defense of the substance in those bootleg remarks in this hour. With us first today from Costa Mesa, California, is Philip Rucker, national political reporter at the Washington Post. He's been following the Romney campaign in California. I think he's on the Romney bus right now. Philip, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, I'm glad to be here, and that's right. I'm on the Romney campaign bus right now. We're heading off to some more fundraisers this morning.
Describe the moment at which this tape comes into the public. There's been a lot of talk in the last several days, Philip, about a reset of the Romney campaign. What is this moment in the arc of the campaign for him?
That's right. It came at a very troubling moment for Mitt Romney. He's been trailing in the polls coming out of the Democratic convention. There's been some public griping from advisors of his and supporters of his about the direction of the campaign, the strategic choices he's been making in the campaign. And starting Monday, yesterday, he had prepared to kind of hit a reboot on his messaging. He was going to talk more about specifics about his plan for the debt, his plan for the economy, for energy, for jobs. And this completely overshadowed what he's trying to do here to regain some ground in this presidential race.
Now, everybody's been listening and watching this bootleg tape. Is Mitt Romney stepping away from any of it, or is this, in fact, a fundamental part of his message?
You know, he's not stepping away from any of it. We asked at the press conference last night whether he would back away from any of it, and he said no. And he went on to say that this is sort of an example of one of the key arguments he's been trying to make in this campaign, which is between what he calls President Obama's, quote, government-centered society, and a society that's based more on free enterprise, free markets, free people taking responsibility for their own lives. That's what Governor Romney's trying to promote in this campaign. Of course, he conceded that his comments were not elegantly stated, but nonetheless, he's standing by the content of what he said.
Does Governor Romney really see nearly half of America as dependent, victims, entitled, or was that red meat for a particular audience? You've heard him speak a lot, Philip. What do you think?
You know, he talks a lot about a culture in America where people are more and more dependent on government for their entitlement programs, for help, for assistance. You know, he sometimes at his rallies will have a line, you know, if you want the free stuff, if you want handouts, vote for the other guy. I'm not your president. He's never quite said anything as directly as he did in this video to the fundraiser audience, but it certainly is sort of hints at a core theme of his candidacy.
And is there a sense of big trouble within the campaign, or is this Republicans on the outside throwing lobbing bombs and saying, get going, Mitt?
Well, you know, it's a little bit hard to tell. Romney's inner circle is very tight and loyal. His top advisors say that there's no problems at all, that they're kind of moving ahead. But I've got to tell you, I've interviewed some of his top donors and fundraisers and sort of informal advisors, people who are close to the campaign, but not necessarily in that immediate inner circle of six or eight advisors, who say there is a lot of trouble, that there have been some strategic mishaps along the way, the handling of the Republican National Convention, the decision to have Clint Eastwood come out, the sort of inability to respond forcefully to the attack ads coming from the Obama campaign earlier this summer over Romney's career at Bain Capital. These are all seen by a lot of Republicans as strategic blunders.
And those are Romney donors expressing those concerns. Philip Rucker on the Romney campaign bus today in California on the way to another fundraiser there with the Washington Post. Philip, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
A little perspective today. This was on Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough, former Republican congressman from Florida, talking about the comments that everybody's talking about today. Here was Scarborough saying maybe Romney's taking the wrong approach, that the candidate should be delivering a message that conservative policies would help all voters, not just the 1%. Here's Scarborough.
I don't look at those 47% as victims. I look at them as people that I want to help. And by the way, for the record, it's the reason why I got like 75% of the votes of people making under 50,000. I would give a conservative message, but I wasn't aimed at the 1%. I said 1% can take care of themselves. Let's get a job for you. That's not the Romney that we're seeing there. That's not the conservative. That does sound like a plutocrat. That does sound like Thurston Howell III.
The bootleg tape sounding like a plutocrat, says Joe Scarborough there. Donald Marin joins us right now. He's director of the Tax Policy Center, a joint venture of the Urban Institute and the Brookings Center. That 47% who don't pay taxes, as Mitt Romney said, seems to be keyed off a number that came out of the Tax Policy Center. Don Marin, thanks very much for being with us today. What is the number, and who are the Americans not paying taxes, federal income taxes, Don?
Right, Tim. So, hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
The our latest estimate was in 2011, 46 of tax units, to be technical, think of them as households that file taxes,
okay,
had no positive federal income tax payments due. And so it's important first to emphasize this is only federal, so it doesn't look at state. And it's important to emphasize that it focuses on income taxes and not other taxes like payroll taxes, which are also important for folks.
Yeah.
So 46 had no income tax liability at the federal level. Most of that, about half of those people are in that situation because, not surprisingly, they have low incomes. If you've ever filled out your taxes, you know that there's a standard deduction and there are personal exemptions that are a certain amount of money that you can earn based on, you know, whether you're single or married, how many kids you have, that is essentially money that you're allowed to earn without owing any federal income tax as part of our progressive tax system. And so that accounts for about half of those 46%.
You give an example there of a couple with two children, the family earning less than $26,400 a year. They would not pay federal income tax.
They would not pay federal income tax. Right, based solely on standard deduction and personal exemptions.
So one half is low-income people, and the policies that leave them not paying income tax, were those implemented under Democratic administrations, Republican administrations?
You know, those are long-standing features of our tax code that have existed under, you know, all constellations of leadership here in Washington. I think the thing that's motivated it is a notion that a certain kind of subsistence level, if that's the right word, level of income should be free from income tax.
Has the economic downturn increased the number of people not paying tax because it's pushed more unemployed Americans, low-paid Americans into that bracket, Don?
Exactly, yeah. So we are the, if you look at 2010, 2011, which are the source for the numbers that folks are quoting now, those are periods when this number has been particularly high. When we look at projections into the future as the economy recovers, we see this figure coming down.
And the other half of that 46-47% not paying federal income taxes, who is it?
So the next big chunk would be senior citizens. It turns out the tax code has some special benefits for seniors. They get a higher deduction, and then in addition, the bulk of Social Security benefits go untaxed. And so seniors make up, out of that 46%, they make up about one quarter to one fifth of them.
And what about others? I heard military. Who else? How much?
Oh, and so then the next biggest piece is we also have a variety of programs in the tax system, the Earned Income Tax Credit, the Child Credit, the Child Independent Care Credit, that are all designed to provide assistance to low-income working families that have children. And so those take another chunk of people off the federal income tax.
And millionaires? I read somewhere there's several thousand millionaires in that number. Is that correct?
There are a few scattered millionaires for idiosyncratic reasons, right? Somewhere out there in America is a millionaire who has all of their investments in tax-exempt bonds, for example.
And they're not paying federal income tax, but there's a lot of other things to pay, rich or poor. Donald Maron, please stand by at the Tax Policy Center. We're talking about Mitt Romney's tough judgment on 47% of Americans. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. We're talking this hour about facts and fallout from Mitt Romney's tough judgment on 47% of Americans, dependent, entitled, victims, where that remark comes from and what it means for the presidential race. Romney's saying today he stands by the substance of that remark. He's sorry he didn't put it more elegantly, he said. Here he is again at that press conference, hastily put together last night after Mother Jones put out the bootleg tape. This was in Costa Mesa, California, at a fundraiser there.
We have a very different approach, the president and I, between a government-dominated society and a society driven by free people pursuing their dreams. I'm talking about the process of campaigns. Typically, I don't talk about process in speeches because I think candidates are wiser to talk about policy and their vision than to talk about how they're going to win an election.
Got a lot of people's attention with those remarks. Of course, so did President Obama 4 years ago and some when he was talking about guns and religion, people desperately clinging to them. But here's Romney right now at a tough moment in his campaign. David Korn is with us right now, Washington Bureau Chief for Mother Jones. He broke the story with the captured video. David Korn is author of Showdown, the inside story of how Obama battled the GOP to set up the 2012 election, out in paperback today. David Korn, thanks very much for being with us. How'd you get a hold of this tape?
Well, it's a good story, Tom. Thanks for having me on. I mean, I had been doing a lot of reporting earlier in the summer about some of Mitt Romney's Bain investments overseas that involved outsourcing, showing how he had profited off outsourcing. And one of those stories involved his major investment in a Chinese company that was making appliances that would otherwise be made by American firms. And because of that, a fellow named James Carter, who happens to be the grandson of Jimmy Carter, a researcher, but he's not connected to the Democratic Party, alerted me to the fact that there was a snippet of a video from a fundraiser in which Romney's talking about making an investment in a Chinese company, and he, and we think it's the same company that I was writing about, and he kind of said, you know, maybe we should contact the guy, take this video, and see if there's, you know, what else he has. And I said, sure. And he was able to locate that source and basically put the two of us together. And then over, you know, a period of time, a week or two, we had a bunch of conversations, the source and I, about what the source had been able to obtain and whether they would share it with me.
So was this somebody that Mitt Romney thought was a potential donor? Was it a donor?
I can't characterize the source beyond saying it was somebody obviously in the room.
What was the setting?
I can't say this about it.
Yeah.
It was not an infiltration. It wasn't a hit job. The person did not go there looking to get the goods on Mitt Romney. They were kind of in the room, and they were curious about what Mitt Romney would say, and so they set up this camera and recorded this, and then I think was a bit flabbergasted by some of the results.
What's the setting for this? Is it somebody's house, a hotel? What
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it was at the home of Mark Lader. He runs an $8 billion hedge fund. And he's another private equity guy who actually got into the business because he once visited the Bain offices and was really inspired. He's very controversial. A lot of his deals, like some of the Bain deals we've heard about, have gone south and have lost money and led to bankruptcies, yet he's made a lot of money. He's also controversial for having sex parties at his Bridgehampton estate out in Long Island. This did not...
who says? I mean, is that... How do you know? I mean...
Because it was reported in the New York Post and the New York Times.
Well, yeah.
I mean, these are sort of bacchanalias that he hosts up there. It wasn't that wild when Romney was there in his private home in Boca Raton.
Okay, but this looks like a pretty straight-up, put-together fundraiser here, and there's Mitt Romney sort of laying out rather frankly. What do you make of his response last night, that he stands by the substance? It's just not elegantly put, David.
Well, he also said the remarks are off the cuff. I mean, off the cuff is... I think these remarks were from the heart. And the great thing about this video is no one has to take my interpretation of it seriously or not. You can watch the video. When I first saw I watched the 70 minutes of the whole event, and a lot of it is boilerplate, what you would expect Mitt Romney to say at a fundraiser. But when I got to this section, I kind of said, whoa, he just said that 47% of America, not just some of Obama voters, but all of them, are moochers and parasites and freeloaders who don't pay taxes. I mean, it's factually not true, but he was setting up the election as a clash between the strivers among us, those who succeed on our own individual merit, and the rest of the country, which just wants a handout. And that, you know, I think he's conveying his real mindset. So he may say it was inelegant. If you read the remarks, they weren't inelegant. They were full sentences. They were kind of heartfelt. He got kind of excited as he talked about this. You know, reminds me of the old saying that in Washington, a gaffe is what happens when a politician says what he really thinks.
David Korn, stand by. We're going to go to Stephen Moore and Congresswoman Marcy Kaptur in just a second here, but there's so many callers. Just a couple. Owen, Charlotte, North Carolina. What do you think, Owen?
Hey, Tom. You know, when I heard those comments, I really felt they were very disturbing. And they were disturbing, particularly when I thought about them in context. I'm an entrepreneur. I've started companies. And as a leader, when you have to motivate your people, you don't go and talk about 50, you know, make a speech and mention that 50% of the people in your company are freeloaders or moochers or not carrying their fair share. That's no way to, you know, our country has a lot of problems right now, and we need leaders who kind of enroll people. And I think, to me, it's you know, this represents a gated community of the mind that exists in certain upper reaches of the Republican Party.
But Owen, he was trying to motivate a closed audience there of funders, of potential big time donors, $50,000 a plate. Right. That's who he was trying to motivate.
But I think it's important to take that context. But what it says. In a society where you're accusing the other guy or the Democrats of promoting class warfare, you're essentially saying 50% of this country doesn't work, doesn't care about working, just freeloads off the rest of us, and that's just not true. That's flat out not true. It reminds me of a photograph that Mitt Romney had taken at Keene when he was a young guy. They were celebrating some kind of event, very famous picture. His colleagues, his partners had money popping out of their pockets, cash stuffed in their mouths. Now, Mitt Romney doesn't have any cash in his mouth, but he was CEO then. He approved that picture, and he approved having that picture published.
Owen, we have so many callers. We've got your point, and I appreciate it. One more, and we'll go to our guest, Webb, Iowa, Kim. Kim, you're on the air.
Thank you. I am one of the 47%, now partly largely because I'm retired.
Yeah.
I'm on Social Security. And by the way, I'm not worried the least bit about Social Security. I'm a Romney supporter because my view is he is pro-business. And the statement used to be America's business is business, which now with this Obama's anti-business administration, it is hurting America. And when there isn't a business, there's no money, no taxes to pay for the 47% like me. So I think we need to get back to where business is important and making money is important, because that pays for all us 40%.
So you're sympathetic to Mitt's point there.
Absolutely.
Kim in Iowa, I appreciate your call. David Korn, please stand by. Stephen Moore joins us right now from Washington. Economist, senior economics writer for the Wall Street Journal editorial page, founder and former president of the Club for Growth, author of Bullish on Bush. Stephen Moore, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Tom. Great to be with you.
And from Toledo, Ohio, Congresswoman Marcy Kaptur is here, Democratic U.S. Rep for Ohio's 9th District, first elected in 1982, now the most senior woman among Democrats in the House, member of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. Marcy Kaptur, welcome back to On Point. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Tom.
Stephen Moore, first to you. What do you make of what Mr. Governor Romney was saying to his big donors there?
Well, I don't know about the politics of it, but I do know that as an economist, I find this to be an extremely troubling trend that could be America's undoing. It is true, factually, that we're getting very close to a point where 50% of Americans pay no income tax. And by the way, Tom, that's a reflection of both Republican and Democrat policies for the last 30 years.
Right.
We continue to take more. It started under the president I worked for, Ronald Reagan. We continued to take more and more people off the income tax rolls. I think that's a big problem. And I think, I'm probably as anti-tax, Tom, as anyone you've ever had on the show. But I do believe, and I think most Americans would agree with this statement, that that if you work, if you're a citizen, if you're a voter, everybody should pay some income tax.
Do you think nearly half of Americans are moochers, freeloaders, victims, dependent, entitled?
That's the other half of the equation. So that's on the tax side. We have nearly half of Americans that are not paying income tax. Of course, they pay Social Security tax and, you know, sales taxes, but
yeah,
that means that they're not paying for national defense. They're not paying for the court system. They're not paying for the Department of Education.
Well, a lot of them, as we heard, don't have much money from Donald.
Right. But I mean, that's a problem, though. As a conservative who believes in limited government, if you have half of the voters nearly that don't pay income tax, then to some extent, government is free to them, right? Because they don't pay for it. Now, again, I'm not saying they don't pay payroll tax and sales tax and other kind of taxes. But the other part of the equation, I think, is even more important. And that's why I think Mitt Romney has to hammer this point, maybe more eloquently, that we've called at the Wall Street Journal editorial page, we've called President Obama President Food Stamps. Because what has happened under President Obama is we've seen the most vast expansion in welfare programs virtually in the history of this country. I mean, we have 46 million people on food stamps. We have, as you know, he's extended unemployment insurance for 2 years. We've had a 40% increase in disability.
Well, we had an economic crisis at the end of the Bush administration.
Except the fact is that the Obama administration, a lot of liberal economists have actually said that they think that unemployment insurance and food stamps is a stimulus to the economy, paying people not to work. And I think if Mitt Romney is going to win this election, I think he should hammer this point that we have become a society that has the welfare. It is the opposite of what happened under Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton used to boast about how many people he took off welfare when he passed the historic 1996 welfare reform bill. This president and his administration, you know this, you've heard the ads, they're actively trying to sign up people for welfare. And I do think that causes a real resentment among the 70 or 80% of the American people who actually work and pay taxes. I mean, you know, they're working 40, 50, or 60 hours a week, and then they see their next-door neighbor who's getting a check from the government. That's a point I think Mitt Romney should be hammering, because it gets to the issue of fairness.
But do you think that many Americans are they want that? They're locked in, moochers here? I mean, David Brooks writes in the New York Times today, Romney's comment is a country club fantasy. It's what self-satisfied millionaires say to each other. What do you say, Stephen?
I think that you've created a system where when you pay people not to work, they don't work. Look, there's no question. The evidence is very clear on this. When you increase food stamps, when you increase unemployment benefits.
But didn't the crisis increase food stamps? Didn't the huge loss of employment and the economic crisis?
But the problem is there's no work requirement for those benefits. And so you've moved. If you look at the new Census Bureau data that came out last week, there's no question that unlike the 90s when people moved out of welfare into work, what's happened under Obama is people have moved out of work into welfare. We have a record low percentage of adults working in this country, and there are a lot of explanations for it. Of course, the recession has a big part to it, but also the vast expansion of welfare has had another has been a big contributing factor to the reduction in work in this country.
Stephen Moore, stand by. Congresswoman Marcy Kaptur, what do you make of the Romney comments and the picture of America it presents?
Well, first of all, I think Mitt Romney has shown again he's the darling of the 1%. He was born with a silver spoon, and he just doesn't understand us. I think his comments are extremely damaging to the Romney-Ryan campaign here in Ohio. And, you know, how can you be president when you write off half the country, half the people? He surely sounds like the Tin Man of American politics, and I would say, where is his heart? And it also, where's his math? Here in our region, the vast majority of our people pay a higher percentage of their income in taxes than he does. Take a look at all the federal payroll taxes that our people pay. Most people here are paying a higher percentage of their federal taxes and payroll taxes than income taxes. They're paying the gas tax. They're paying their property tax. Even with property valuations having gone down in many counties in Ohio, they're paying higher because of the Wall Street damage that was done across this country. They're still having to pay the same level of property taxes, sales taxes, state and local taxes.
What about Stephen Moore's math? He's saying, you know, we've got too few people paying for too much of this country's government, and it can't go on.
People here are paying more than their fair share because people like Mitt Romney, who's unwilling to release his latest tax reforms, aren't paying their fair share. These hedge funds are taxed at a 15% level, when in fact most corporations are paying nearly double that. So, you know, he's a child of privilege, and I think that he shows it more and more with every passing week. If you think about the fact that you have... he says 47% of the people don't pay any taxes, pay no taxes. This is from somebody who stubbornly hides his tax returns from the American people. He apparently has a pre-existing political condition. He cares only about rich people. So if you think about his background and those people who were at that fundraiser, if you look at Wall Street bankers, they say it's not their job to worry about middle-class homeowners. Outsourcing corporate executives like Mitt Romney say it's not their job to worry about middle-class American workers. And health insurance companies say it's not their job to worry about families battling illness and disease. So now we have a presidential candidate say it's not his job to worry about 150 million Americans who are working hard and struggling in this economy that has outsourced so many of our jobs.
Because they're in Obama's pocket. He says, Donald Marin, at the Tax Policy Center, your numbers are behind a lot of this. Has the weight of tax paying shifted in this country? Has it changed significantly over the years? Who's paying what?
Well, as Steve said earlier, there has been some bipartisan effort over time to trim the number of people who have to pay federal income tax, expansions of things like the child credit and whatnot. So that's been a factor over time. And then obviously you've seen at the top end a significant reduction in tax rates over the decades.
So where does that leave the balance? If we're cutting on everybody, is the burden shifted up or down?
Well, I mean, at the moment, you know, as we sit here today, taxes are still remarkably low by historical standards at the federal level, in part due to the weak economy, in part because of stimulus efforts, and in part because of tax changes we've had over the last decade. And, you know, it's not going to be a sustainable level. Looking ahead, taxes are going to have to be higher than where they are today, probably for most people.
Marcy Kaptur, we've just got you for half a minute here. How do you think this plays out? The Governor Romney was looking for a reset. Now he's got this tape from May in the middle of his September campaign. How do you see the campaign going, Marcy?
Well, I say, speaking from Ohio, we're a classic swing state because we have so many middle-class voters, and he has just sent a spear through our hearts. What he said is an insult to every one of them. We have millions of middle-class voters here in Cleveland, Parma, Toledo, Lakewood, Lorain. That's who we are. And he's referring to the rest of us as a bunch of deadbeats. He's totally Wall Street. Little wonder that he said Detroit should go bankrupt. He simply doesn't care. From what he said, most recently here, his headline might read, Mitt Romney to Ohio, drop dead.
Marcy Kaptur in Ohio, representing the 9th District there. Marcy, Congresswoman, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Donald Marin at the Tax Policy Center, thank you for joining us today.
Great, thanks.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the facts and fallout from Mitt Romney's tough judgment on 47% of Americans, dependent, entitled, victims, where that remark comes from, and what it means for the presidential race. David Korn is with us from Mother Jones. They brought out the bootleg tape and the whole text that goes with it that's got everybody talking today. He joins us from Washington. His book, just out in paperback, is Showdown, the Inside Story of How Obama Battled the GOP to Set Up the 2012 Election, out in paperback. Today, Stephen Moore is with us. He's a founder, former president of the Club for Growth, now senior economics writer at the Wall Street Journal. Editorial page joins us from Washington. Lots of response on the website and Facebook and Twitter. Here's Jim says, freeloaders? He says, not paying taxes? And Mr. Romney, please look at yourself first in the mirror before making those remarks. But Alexis says, David Korn, I'll put this to you. Look, he said, what Governor Romney said when he said that it's not my job to worry about those people, he was talking about who he as a candidate can look to for votes. Alexis says, certainly a President Romney will be concerned about all American people. How do you hear it, David?
Listen, everyone can hear this from themselves. I understand he was making a political point, but he also was making a larger sociological point that half of Americans are people who he doesn't think highly of. And it wasn't the 47% who just don't pay taxes. Basically, he said, these are Obama voters. This is Obama America. And they don't take personal responsibility for themselves. They believe there's a right to health care, food, housing, you name it.
You name it. Like everything under the sun.
Like everything. Mm-hmm. And so that they're shiftless. And so he's saying, I'm not going to get their votes. But he's also indicating that he has a real high disregard for all these people, all of Obama voters. And it wasn't, so it went beyond, a obvious political point.
But are they Obama voters? I mean, Stephen Moore, I'm looking at the map here, and, a lot of these states where there's a very high percentage of filers with no tax liability, a whole lot of them are solidly deep red states, Republican states, Stephen.
Well, look, let me say this, that I think I'm kind of troubled by the fact that people on the left are not troubled by these trends. I mean, it's something I've been writing a lot about. I have a new book out myself called Who's the Fairest of Them All? It'll be out next week.
Who's the Fairest of Them All? Okay.
And it's on these trends, and the trends are really disturbing. We have a record number of people collecting benefits. I mean, my goodness, we have 1 out of 7 Americans now on food stamps. I mean, that's a big problem that we have so many people dependent on government to put food on their table. The fact that you've got close to this is what we as conservatives talk about the tipping point, that that you're going to get close to a situation where within a couple of years, more than half Americans will not pay federal income tax. And right now we have a situation where, according to the new census data, 57% of Americans live in a household that are getting a government benefit.
Where's the chicken and egg here, though? I mean, is that because the economy got so trashed that they're in trouble?
Yeah, it's both. It's because we've got a lousy economy that hasn't been mended. I'll agree with all of you. This is a horrible economy, and it hasn't been fixed. But which is a reason, to vote for Mitt Romney. But also because we've made these programs so generous. We got rid of the work requirement for food stamps. That was the first act that Barack Obama passed when he became president. We've extended unemployment insurance.
Well, what's the alternative? If there's no work, what's the alternative?
Well, for those kids to starve? Look, I talk to employers all the time. For example, I talked to a major trucking company a few weeks ago. They said they're having a problem finding drivers because so many of the drivers lost their jobs during the recession, and they're staying on unemployment benefits until they lose their benefits. We all know that. People start to look for work when their unemployment insurance benefits run out.
But are you saying that there's a secret huge pool of jobs? If they only look, they're there? That 13 million Americans are just kind of skulking around, not taking the jobs.
What I'm saying is, if you pay people not to work, this is not a controversial thing to say. If you pay people not to work, you're going to get less work.
Well, but they have to be jobs available in order for them to go out and take them.
Except one thing people do is they won't take a certain job at a certain salary because they figure, well, I can get government benefits. I mean, you can get benefits up to about $30,000, $35,000 a year.
David Korn, what about this risk or this danger of a tipping point where we've got too many people on the dole, not enough people working, 1 in 7 on food stamps, Stephen Moore says? You got a ratio problem here.
Well, listen, when you have a recession and people lose jobs, food stamps go up. You saw Newt Gingrich trying to call, and Steve and his gang at the Wall Street Journal call Obama the food stamp stamp president.
Right.
I guess in the depths of a deep recession, they'd rather cut back on food stamps and have people fend for themselves. I mean, this is a philosophical debate that we can have, and it's actually a debate that the president has been trying to have with Mitt Romney, and Mitt Romney in his own way has been trying to have it too. But what I, you know, it seems to me from the conservative side, you can come at it two different ways and say, as Steve does, I disagree with him, that, you know, if you take away these programs, it will motivate people to, you know, fend for themselves, and, you know, it's a very Ayn Rand sort of version of the world, which Paul Ryan's been talking about too in his acceptance speech and elsewhere. But, you know, putting all that aside, if you look at what Mitt Romney says, he's not out there saying, hey, the best way we can help these people is by cutting them off. You know, he just, you know, and I care about them so much. I care about them so much, I want to, you know, reduce government programs so that they'll find better jobs. He doesn't even say that. It's just contempt. And he's lumping the 47% who don't pay taxes with the 47% who voted for Obama, obviously not the same group. David Geffen, I'm guessing, voted for Barack Obama. He probably pays
zillionaire.
A lot of taxes.
Yeah.
There are a lot of senior citizens on Medicare and Social Security who may be voting for Mitt Romney. That's one of the few demographics where he's doing well.
Yeah, we just heard from Kim in Iowa exactly on that beam.
So what Mitt Romney is doing is going beyond this highly philosophical argument about, you know, government programs, to showing disdain, and the way he characterizes the people on these programs as moochers. I mean, even Steve knows that a Wall Street Journal editorial would never do that. I mean, I don't know whether they think that or not, but they certainly wouldn't put it in those terms. And here's Mitt Romney saying, "You guys, you're beneath contempt. You won't take personal responsibility." So everybody who's on food stamps refuses to take personal responsibility.
Yeah, let's get our listeners in here. Peggy in North Kingstown, Rhode Island. Peggy, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Thanks. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I've been mildly irritated with Romney, but now I am livid. He has really insulted me. I am one of the people who was going to vote for Obama, because I believe in what he's trying to do, and I do think he's done better than a lot of people could have done. After all, this is the worst recession since the Great Depression.
So are you one of the 47%, Peggy?
I'm retired. I receive Social Security. I'm on Medicare, which, by the way, the two of us pay upwards of $7,000 or $8,000 a year. With the Medigap,
yep.
And the Medicare, and last year we paid a higher percentage of our taxes, for our taxes, than Romney did. I think he paid 13%. We paid 16%.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's got us. He's putting everybody into a them and an us category. And that is always a mistake. That is always going
to... What about President Obama? At the Republican convention, a lot of people said he put the country into them and us, rich and everybody else.
Yeah, well, the percentage that he has in them is much smaller, and I'm not too crazy about that either, although I do think that many of them are not paying their fair share.
Peggy, let me get one more, if I may, and I thank you for your call. Nebraska, Wahoo, Nebraska, Jan is calling. Jan, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm an Obama supporter, and what I have to say is I think that Romney showed his true colors. He didn't misspeak. When you even listen to how he spoke with much more conviction in that recording than he does when he's answering questions that people are putting to him. When he does that, he's kind of stammering and trying to come up with something. But I think that was showing his true colors. I agree with the congresswoman and David there, that to think that people would on purpose quit working to go on welfare, that's just ridiculous. You can barely even survive on welfare, and unemployment doesn't pay all your bills either. It's not the same as having a job. I think that's just totally unrealistic to think that people are...
Want to live that way. Jan, we've got it. And one more, David in Boston. David, you're on the air. Thank you, Jan. David, you're on.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Tom, the point I'm trying to make is Governor Romney makes it sound like that the 47% of people that are not paying income taxes, that they're all, they're the exact same 47% that are voting for Obama's, which is not correct. I'm... Obama supporter, and I'm paying taxes, and I've never been on any government help. So I believe that 47% that are not paying their income taxes, half of them are Republicans as well.
Well, surely if you put in retired and everything else, there have to be a lot of Republicans in that number. David, thank you for your call. Stephen, what about this sense of characterizing this big a chunk of the country as kind of shiftless? Do you believe that? Do you believe that there's that many Americans who don't want to work, don't want a job? And don't we work longer hours than almost anybody?
We do. And look, I think the American people do have a work ethic, but I think that work ethic is eroded by welfare. One of the things that I think hopefully we would all agree on is that every welfare benefit program, food stamps, let me put it like this. Any able-bodied person in America who's getting government benefit should have to work for it.
But you keep saying that, but where are the jobs?
Well,
where's the job
we're
supposed
can have
to have?
Public, we can have work projects, but
really?
Everybody
most of the Congress voted against that when Obama tried to bring something like that on.
No, that was a program. You're talking about a stimulus program. What I'm talking about is people should have to show up for some kind of job, even if it's just cleaning up the parks and things like that, because when you do that, then people say, well, gee, if I have to work for these welfare benefits, I might as well go out and get a job. So this was the heart of the welfare reform bill that Bill Clinton was bragging about.
Most of that is
ago.
Still in effect, right? I mean, as Bill Clinton said 2 weeks ago.
No, the work requirements under the welfare law have been eroded, and you know the story that about a month ago the Obama administration has tried to weaken those work requirements.
Yeah, but that was to get people to go out and work. I mean, I don't have a dog in this fight, but the fact is that that was to get people to go out and work, to give flexibility so they could get people working.
No, it wasn't. These states that are trying to get many of the states like California that are trying to get these waivers want to weaken the work requirements so you can get for diet programs and things like that, you can continue to get benefits. My only point is we should be very concerned as a nation that so many people are on welfare today. And there's an inconsistency, I think, among a lot of these callers saying, oh, Barack Obama has done such a wonderful job with the economy. And then at the same time, you're saying there's no jobs. Well, look, he spent $800 billion on programs that were supposed to get Americans back to work, and it didn't work.
Yeah, that wasn't great, but then neither was financial collapse.
That's true.
Some
he inherited
say
a great economic crisis. But people, you cannot deny the fact that this is, not just by a little bit, by far the worst recovery from an expansion. I mean, at this point of the Reagan era, we had 7-8% growth.
Yeah,
we were creating
300,000
jobs
look,
a month.
Again, it's not. I don't have a dog in the fight, but people say these are very different kinds of recessions, financial and otherwise. Scott in Waterloo, Iowa. Scott, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
The simple point that I'd like to make is that I am part of that 47%. I've been driving trucks for 20 years. My annual salary has effectively stayed pretty flat, fluctuating maybe $5,000-$10,000 over that 20-year period.
Yeah.
And I would love to be able to contribute to my country, but I've got to find a way to increase my salary.
Yeah, and it hasn't happened in all those years. That's not a good feeling. I mean, Scott, thanks for your call. Drive safely. David Korn, there's the American who'd like to be chipping in, but their salary's not going anywhere. His wages aren't going anywhere.
You know, it seems to me there are a lot of Americans out there who are hurting these days, who don't make enough money to pay taxes, who have to go for food stamps maybe for the first time in their lives. And what Mitt Romney said indicated, at least to me, and again, people can go to MotherJones.com or anywhere else and watch the video for themselves, indicates to me that he has absolutely no empathy for these people. If you're in a VA hospital, if you're on Medicaid, if you lost your job and you're using food stamps in between, if you have to go on welfare, I mean, it really made them sound like they're moochers who believe they are entitled, that they see themselves as victims against us strivers, our people who succeed on their own without any help. I mean, in the same video, he declares to the audience, I inherited nothing. Well, a lot of people would beg to differ with that, even if by the time he gave the actual inheritance away.
What about those, David, who say, well, look, remember President Obama talking about people clinging to guns or religion?
What he was saying was that when times get hard economically, it's hard to deal with immigration issues and trade deals, and people, working class people, middle class voters who are having trouble with jobs, turn to cultural issues like guns and religion. And, he got pilloried for that, and he explained it, and people could make whatever judgment they could. I don't think, if you listen to his remarks, you know, and listen to Romney's remark, I think there's a gap in terms of contempt. But that's but other people can look at it themselves. I mean, it's clear in Romney's case that he's using derogatory terms about half of America, derogatory terms about half of America, while he campaigns to be president for all of America. To me, that's the bottom line. And he can say it was inelegant. Steve Moore can talk about the philosophical debate over welfare and whether the entitlement programs actually hurt people. I mean, all that aside, Mitt Romney was talking about this half this country in highly derogatory terms when he thought there were no cameras rolling.
David Brooks calls it a country club fantasy. Stephen Moore, what do you think about the Romney campaign at this point? A lot of high-placed Republicans have been putting up alarms. How do you feel about that?
Well, it certainly hasn't gone the right direction in the last couple of weeks, no question about it. I mean, and this hasn't come at the right time because the spin on this has been, you know, as David was saying, that Mitt Romney doesn't care about middle-class people. I think he has to turn that around and say, look, I do care about working middle-class people and people who don't have a job. That's why I want to create businesses. That's why this president has been such a failure. And he's got to kind of take the offensive and say, look, the person who's for the middle class is me because this president has seen a $4,000 decline in the average household income over the last 4 years. How is that pro-middle class?
Well, that hill may have just gotten a little steeper, but we'll see how he turns around on this moment. Stephen Moore at the Wall Street Journal editorial page, founder of the Club for Growth, author of Who's the Fairest of Them All? Thanks for joining us today. And David Korn, Washington bureau chief for Mother Jones, who got the whole bootleg tape out there, author of Showdown, out today in paperback. David, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Listeners, you can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Thanks for being with us today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.